So here we are and on Mother's Day 2018, and we're going to expect his usual invoking prayer from Deacon Sullivan.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful weather as we gather here on Mother's Day, and we thank you for mothers, Lord, and your design. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Give thanks to the Lord. Okay? No? We give thanks to thee, O Lord. We give thanks. We give thanks to thee, O Lord. We give thanks. For thy name is near. Thy wondrous works men declare. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. With my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise. And give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise. And give him praise. Give glory and honor and power to his name, Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, the name above all names. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand, and the sheep of his hand. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For our God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. The heavens declare his righteousness. The people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. The Lord reigns. Our Lord reigns. Our Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. You know he does. It's true. Now and forever. Well, before we actually look at some scriptures today, I like to bring you some little anecdotal things. For example, may the farce be with you. And we have lots of farces that are with us these days, aren't we? And here's an interesting definition. Children think about their immediate wants and do what feels good. Adults, on the other hand, devise smart, logical plans and stick to them. I want you to have a great life, but you must put in some hard work and say no to yourself sometimes in order to attain that great life. Secondly, if anything does not promote godliness in all its forms, it's not from God. And here historically from George Washington, 1796, but if we are to be told by a foreign power what we shall do and what we shall not do, we have independence yet to seek and have contended hitherto for very little. And as one person calls political correctness movement, a tsunami of raw sewage. And I like this poem. It was memorialized by John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, a patriot pastor during the Revolutionary War, and it's called The Rising, written by Thomas Buchanan Reed. The pastor rose, the prayer was strong. The psalm was warrior David's song. The text, a few short words of might, the Lord of hosts shall arm the right. He spoke of wrongs too long endured, of sacred rights to be secured. Then from his patriot tongue aflame, the startling words of freedom came. The stirring sentences he spake compelled the heart to glow or quake. And rising on his theme's broad wing and grasping in his nervous hand the imaginary battle brand, in face of death he dared to fling defiance to a tyrant king. And of course, a lot of what's called education anymore is really more likely to be known as the education of misinformation, along with may the farce be with you. So we have a lot of that. Now I'd like to go into a little bit of a history so that we all know how Mother's Day came about. I posted this on my Facebook page, asking the question, do you know where Mother's Day came from? And so Mother's Day was first held in Boston in 1872 at the suggestion of Julia Ward Howe, the writer of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. But it was actually Anna Jarvis, who was the daughter of a Methodist minister in Grafton, West Virginia, who made it a national event. During the Civil War, Anna Jarvis's mother organized Mother's Day work clubs to care for wounded soldiers, both Union and Confederate. She raised money for medicine, inspected bottled milk, improved sanitation, and hired women to care for families where mothers suffered from tuberculosis. In her mother's honor, Anna Jarvis persuaded her church to set aside the second Sunday in May, the anniversary of her mother's death, and as a day to appreciate all mothers. Encouraged by the reception, Anna Jarvis organized it in Philadelphia, then began a letter-writing campaign to ministers, businessmen, and politicians to establish a National Mother's Day. In response, on May 9, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the first National Mother's Day as a public expression of love and reverence for the mothers of our country. President Reagan said in his Mother's Day proclamation, 1986, a Jewish saying sums it up. God cannot be everywhere, so he created mothers. Mothers have the role of imparting values into children, as American poet William Ross Wallace wrote, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Dr. James Dobson addressed the National Religious Broadcasters on February 16, 2002. If they can get control of children, they can change the whole culture in one generation. The importance of this was echoed by historians Will and Ariel Durant in The Lessons of History, 1968. Civilization is not inherited. It has to be learned and earned by each generation anew. If the transmission should be interrupted, civilization would die, and we should be savages again. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. On February 3, 1983, at the annual National Prayer Breakfast, President Reagan stated, I have a very special old Bible. And alongside a verse in the second book of Chronicles, there are some words handwritten, very faded by now. And believe me, the person who wrote these words was an authority. Her name was Nell Wilson Reagan. She was my mother. Reagan stated, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on to them to do the same. Or one day, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. So needless to say, a lot of great truth there. Appreciated Ronald Reagan saying about the old Bible that he got from his mother. What I presume that she had in 2 Chronicles, probably 7:14, had that underlined or highlighted, so she would be remembering it and reminding her son who would look in the Bible. And I want to once again mention, may the farce be with you. We see a lot of the things that are being reported in the news these days that are definitely farcical. You know, of course, this is kind of a play on words because we know in Star Wars, may the force be with you. Well, we always have this farce with us that so much of what we're hearing is not true. And most of us know that. And yet they keep repeating it in the news media anyway. The misinformation, the ministry of misinformation. But we know if we go to the Word of God, we're getting correct information. So I want to look at two passages of Scripture today on Mother's Day. The first one is Psalm 46, 11 verses there, so you can turn in your copy of the Bible to that. Psalm 46. There are 11 verses there. So why don't we start with Sean to my right and going around. And each one of us will do 3 verses. And then I will do the last part. So starting with Sean, go ahead.
Reading from the English Standard Version, Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 4? 3.
Yeah.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, through the mountains tremble at its swelling. That was the English Standard Version, Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 3.
Yeah, continuing with verses 4 through 6. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. That was Psalm 46, verses 4 through 6.
And continuing on in Psalm 46, verses 7 through 9 from the English Standard Version. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Psalm 46, verses 7, 8, and 9 from the English Standard Version.
Okay. And the last two verses of the chapter, Psalm 46, also reading from the English Standard Version. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And I want to remind you of some of the songs that we sang this morning. Certainly amplify this passage of Scripture. I remember one of my mentors, Myron Handel Price, a Welchman, very small Welchman, and he used to sing this first part of this scripture. He'd sing it this way: God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. He wasn't the greatest singer, but I used to enjoy that. And of course, it brings to mind in verse 2, Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. What's happening right now on the big island of Hawaii, the Kilauea volcano that's erupting, and of course molten lava going into the sea, creating more land and great clouds of steam that are coming up from that. So those are things that are happening. But whenever that we see that, and of course in the last part of the chapter, very important verse in 10. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted. Not maybe will I be exalted. I will, the Lord says, be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. And of course, that also is in keeping in one of the songs that we sang. Concerning every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So this is a will. It's not going to be something accidental. It's not something that we hope will happen. It will happen. When it will happen, I cannot say. Now let's turn to the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 31. And I'm going to ask my lovely wife, Kathy, if she would read the entire chapter for us on this Mother's Day 2018.
So Proverbs chapter 31 from the English Standard Version. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Proverbs chapter 31, verse from the English Standard Version.
Well, thank you, honey. Appreciate that. There are a number of passages of Scripture that we could look to on Mother's Day. Various Old and New Testament Scriptures. And I guess I want to make a point today, we'll call it the theme, that many of us may look back on our mothers, and many may look at their wives, and they can't see that this is the mother they had, or this is the wife that they had. But my point here, and it's a theme, is, okay, maybe you didn't have a good mother. Maybe you didn't have a good wife. But that's not the point. And for all the hundreds of people, literally, every month, hundreds of people find our website, listen to these broadcasts and so forth. So not only here and now, but also throughout the week, it's listened to. And as people find it, this week was very encouraging. A man in Irvine, California found our website and enjoyed the broadcast about liberty. Well, I pray that if somebody finds this broadcast of our service and considers about motherhood, they'd say, I didn't have a good mother. Or some might say, gee, I didn't have a good wife. But that's not the point. The point is, if we were to advise somebody, for example, you know, somebody's newly married or are about to be married, we'd say, okay, if you want to know what a good wife is, you don't go asking your friends necessarily. You go to the Bible and go to the Proverbs 31 chapter, for example. And this describes what a good wife, and remember when you use the word good, instead of necessarily saying great, good means complete. Good also comes from the word godly. And of course, we, as I said in one of my remarks, that anything that does not promote godliness in all its forms is not from God. So there are a lot of people looking, have expectations of a mother or of a wife that are really not from God. So I'd say, okay, if you want to be a really good wife, this is where you must go and where you must learn it. Right here, Proverbs 31. You want to be a good mother, and where would you go to learn that? You can go here to Proverbs 31, for example. And you can learn what it is to be a good mother. Now, obviously, several of us, gender-wise, are not going to be a mother. But yet we still are in a position to advise people. I mean, all the time, people are asking us questions, usually, you know, about the thinking about getting married and what, you know, who should I choose for a wife and or, you know, the issue is you don't choose your mother and father. They're chosen for you, and so you have the mother you got. And I think back on my mother, certainly when I was born, and for the first few years of my life, actually maybe even the first 10 years of my life, my mother was a very good mother. But then she got involved in alcohol and she went downhill fast. She became not a good wife. She became not a good mother. But instead of living with a resentment for that, and I, of course, part of the advice here to everybody is, you know, be healed. No matter what your circumstance was, if you didn't have a good mother, well, okay, so you didn't. But that doesn't mean that if you didn't have a good mother that you can't be a good person, good meaning godly, that you can't fulfill God's calling on your own life. And it's interesting when you read in Proverbs 31, there's so many verses worth noting there. Like the first, verse 2, what are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? That a mother, like using Ronald Reagan's remembrance of a Jewish phrase, you know, that God could be everywhere, which is not true, of course. So he created mothers for that purpose or something of that nature. So the question that a mother would be asking her son, I mean, a godly mother is going to ask her son and her daughter for that matter too. What are you doing? And so back to what I had said about maturity, the children think about their immediate wants and do what feels good, where adults, on the other hand, devise smart, logical plans and stick to them. I want you to have a great life, but you must put in some hard work and say no to yourself sometimes in order to attain that great life. Well, I've had to say that to my own children. I've had to teach that to other people. I mean, if you're a child, you think about only your immediate needs and wants and do what feels good. We have many people in our society that though they're of adult age, they're still acting like children. And so some of the advice that's given to us in Proverbs, about verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Well, if you're a wife and mother listening to this, you certainly should be aspiring to be this wife and mother that's described here in Proverbs, knowing that that doesn't come just naturally. That takes work. And of course, that you would want that situation where your children rise up and call you blessed, your husband also, and he praises you. So when everything is working the way that the Lord wants it to work, this is what you can expect. You do things Jesus' way, and you get Jesus' results. And of course, in verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. You know, if you open any magazine, and while I usually am at the hospital for treatment and everything, I'll sit and I'll look at some magazines that they have there. I mean, obviously, vanity, you know, charm is deceitful. When we think about charm and the word charming, gee, that person's very charming. Of course, there's many definitions of that. A charm, of course, is some kind of talisman or whatever else. Or somebody's very charming, but they can be very charming when nothing is stressing them out or nothing is difficult. And of course, beauty is vain. Look at all the things that are going on. I mean, I'm sure for Mother's Day, lots of makeup is being sold and whatever else. But the Proverbs 31 woman is not... she's not beautiful because she's charming, and she doesn't have that vainglorious type of beauty. This is what makes her really beautiful. According to the Lord, a beautiful woman and mother is this: a woman who fears the Lord and is to be praised. Now, one amongst us today is a young man who someday, presumably, he will get married and he'll be looking for a wife. And so we would advise him this. You look for a wife who's not just charming or physically beautiful. No, you look for a wife that fears the Lord, and because of that is to be praised. And certainly not all people, women and men included, fear the Lord. And of course we know that Scripture tells us the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And fearing the Lord doesn't mean that your knees are knocking because you're afraid of Him. It means that you're respecting Him in the way that He's supposed to be respected, the way He says He needs to be respected, the way the Bible teaches that He should be respected. So maybe you didn't have a good mother. Maybe my mother, not maybe, my mother actually did go to the dark side. You know, after I was roughly about 10, maybe 8, 9, or 10, somewhere in there. And that was very sad. And in many ways, she really embarrassed me in so many different ways. And more than embarrassed me, endangered me and so forth and so on. But that doesn't taint my belief in motherhood. It doesn't taint my belief in a wife. Just because we've seen what's wrong, or maybe we had what's wrong in our own family, doesn't mean that we don't believe for what is right according to the Scriptures. So we've chosen today to read these Scriptures. Like I said, there are many, many more that talk about motherhood on this Mother's Day. And of course, what will we talk about? No, soon enough we'll be at Father's Day, and we'll be talking about what a good father is. So what is a good mother? What is a good wife? Where do we get that information? Well, you can call the local psychologist. You can ask all the people in the neighborhood, and everybody will have an opinion of that, mostly based on what they had seen or experienced in their own lives. But the answer that you're looking for is always contained in Scripture, because everything we need to know about life and godliness is contained in God's Word, the Holy Bible. And it is good. The Lord created the heavens and the earth, and He rested on that seventh day. And what did He say? It is good. It means it's complete. So thank you, Lord, on this day. We want to bless our mothers. Not just by taking them out to a brunch, not just by handing them a red rose or something like that. But we want to bless them by encouraging them to be what you want them to be and helping them that way. We know that iron sharpeneth iron, so many times some of the difficult circumstances we go through are going to either make us better or make us bitter. And Lord, we know that through You, we can become better. And we thank You and praise You for this. In Your name, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the One that devised marriage, the One that devised motherhood, and knows best what a mother and a wife really is. Amen.